Thank you, Julie, so much. So much for that testimony. And we such a joy to partner with you, to pray for you. We're proud of you. I know Tanya's really proud of you, especially. So thank you for being with us today. And yes, IMB is close to my heart. It's been a big part of my life. Son of Southern Baptist missionaries from the time I was 10 days old. And 10 months old, they had me overseas in Africa and just growing up in that. It's an amazing adventure that God calls you to. And so we thank you for sharing with us today. All right. How are y'all doing this morning? You ready to dive in? I tell you, I get to preach today. I'm a little schizophrenic. Music, preaching. Sometimes when I'm singing, I feel like I should preach. When sometimes I'm preaching, I might just break out singing. Who knows? But it is the first week of Advent. And like Julie said, we are starting a new series for this month. And it's called Christmas Delivered. It's a little play on words there, if you get it. That Mary delivered our deliverer. And so Christmas Delivered. Does it feel weird that we're talking about Christmas today? Does it feel just a little early? Some of you, it's just too early, and how many of you are, yeah, let's get to it. Let's get this year over with. I think so, yeah. It just felt like, you know, looking at the people putting their decorations up in the neighborhood and even the stores, it's like they, yeah, Halloween, whatever, Thanksgiving, let's just get to Christmas and get this year over with, right? So it's interesting. The 2020, like Julie said, it's just been a year of just who would have ever imagined. But things like lockdowns, it's the year of quarantines, it's work from home, school from home, depending on deliveries, right? So much of what we have experienced this year is dependent on deliveries. What's being delivered to our house? What are we waiting on to arrive? Everything from meals to groceries to toilet paper, right? Hopefully we don't go back to that. We got that under control. But especially kids, you know, this time of year, it's a season of anticipation. Advent is that anticipating the coming Messiah. So we walk through and relive that journey of the miracle that God did that first Christmas. And as we look at today, all those deliveries that arrived to our house, we have the UPS truck, we have the USPS truck, we have the FedEx truck. And I even think that Santa and his reindeer are losing market share to Amazon this year because, you know, kids are just like, they know that truck is bringing something exciting and something new and good. And so I want to talk about our theme verse for the season of this series called Christmas Delivered. Our theme verse is out of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And, you know, the name Jesus, really, when you look at the Hebrew translation, it's really more accurately to be Yeshua. Or in our vernacular, it probably would translate closer to Joshua, even than Jesus, but somehow we've gotten to Jesus, and that's the name. But the Hebrew name of Yeshua, it actually means, is translated, Savior or Deliverer, the one who delivers his people. And so Mary delivered the deliverer, the Messiah, Jesus. And so what we're going to do starting today, each week, we're going to unpack certain of those gifts that the arrival of Jesus brings to us. You know, hope delivered. Today is about hope. Then we're going to talk about peace delivered and joy delivered and all those things that the coming of the Messiah means to us, not just 2,000 years ago, but what means to us today. And so part one is this week, Hope Delivered. And if you have your Bibles, who brought your Bibles? And who uses an app? Who uses the phone app? Okay. Maybe you got Bible Gateway or YouVersion, whatever you use. Go ahead and get that ready. Go ahead and turn to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be keying off of the Old Testament book of Isaiah for his perspective on hope. And it's a very unique perspective when you think that Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet who wrote about the coming of the Messiah. I mean, his book is one of the largest of the major prophets, Old Testament prophets, and it is just chock full of foreshadowing and prophecies about the coming Messiah. And you think about that this man was doing his ministry and was writing these things 760 years before it actually happened. You talk about a perspective, unique perspective of hope that is on the horizon, that's coming. So chapter 9, this was our Advent reading today. Tanya read that today in chapter 9. And as you're turning there, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7. As you're turning there, just a little bit of context. Who was Isaiah? What are some of the highlights of this man that God had called? He was an Old Testament prophet, which means he was called to be God's messenger to the Israelites at that point in time. That's the way God communicated his message. He chose a person, he chose a prophet to be his mouthpiece, and that was Isaiah. And he lived, like we said, over 700 years before Christ. And the context of the day, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel who were God's chosen people, it was a time of moral decay and idolatry among God's chosen people. And so people were straying far from God. And Isaiah's message was not a very popular message. He was not very well received because for the first half of the book of Isaiah, his message is really one of judgment and rebuke. It's pretty heavy. And he's constantly warning the people and the leaders of the coming consequences of their spiritual unfaithfulness to God and their moral corruption. But also, peppered throughout all that, there are still messages of hope and encouragement regarding God's mercy and his promise of a coming deliverer that would save his people from their sins. So let's read Isaiah 9, these few verses together, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land. Isn't that a gloomy passage? The gloom of the distressed land. That just feels heavy and dark, right? But will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. And that basically is referring to a northeast region of the land of Israel. This was part of the promised land. It's referring back to the sons of Jacob, that you know God had portioned that land out to the different tribes. So that's that reference. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to where? Galilee. There's foreshadowing right there. He will bring honor to Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Wow. What a strong message. What a message of hope. Things may look dark, but God says hope is on the way. Can you say that again? Hope is on the way. So that's our point one. Every time we do a point one, I'm going to get you to echo it back with me. So hope is on the way. So and now we're going to look forward to chapter 40. Jump forward to Isaiah chapter 40. The unique thing about chapter 40, it kind of signifies a turning point in the whole book of Isaiah. Previously, the previous chapters are doom and gloom and judgment and, you know, you got to return to God or it's going to get really, really bad. And then in chapter 40, there's kind of a tone that changes. There's kind of a fresh wind of hope that comes here. The message shifts from the heaviness of God's judgment and rebuke to a message of hope and encouragement. Even though the children of Israel were going to face many more hard years to come, they were going to be in exile. They were going to be occupied by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. But even here in chapter 40, God is sending a message of encouragement and hope that he has not forgotten his promises and the Savior is coming. So chapter 40, the first two verses. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of hard service is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So what is hope? How do we define it? If you look to Webster's Dictionary, it says it has a couple of definitions there. The first one says, to desire with expectation of attainment or fulfillment. And the second one, I love this, it could be used as a noun to say it is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. I love what Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says about it. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you real quick. But Hebrews 11 1 says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. And so what does this say about the relationship between faith and hope? They kind of feed off each other. Faith, hope feeds faith, and faith strengthens hope. I was thinking about it kind of like this. Hope is kind of the vision, and faith is the motion that moves towards that vision. I like saying it this way. Hope writes the check, but faith cashes the check.
Amen.
And so hope is the promise, and faith is the motion towards that promise to see it fulfilled. So what happens when we lose hope? Do you know anybody who's really going through a time where they're just, I'm just about to give up? Asking for a friend. You know, it is a difficult time we're going through. So what happens when we lose hope? Despair. You stop striving. No more motivation to believe in something. And at this point, I'm going to say, can I get a go Jaguars? Because talk about losing hope for a season. There's always hope, right? There's always next season, right? I will go to my grave being a Jaguars fan just so they can let me down one more time. But hope has to be more than just sentiment or an idea or a feeling, right? That's a Boston. You got any Boston fans? More than a feeling. Love that song. Used to have it on my phone. Yeah. Yes, Boston. But hope must be based on something real and substantive. It's got to be able to sustain it to not lose hope. And so let's look further down in Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard?
Yes. Yes.
The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youth may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will what? Renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint.
Amen.
So this is our God. This is the substance of our hope. Our God is everlasting. He's powerful. He's the creator and sustainer of everything. He's limitless, all-knowing, all-wise. He is faithful and good. And his character is what sustains our hope, because he is the God of hope. And he has never lost a battle, and he has never broken a promise. So this is the God of hope, and this is the gospel, the good news.
The way. Say that back to me. Hope is on the way. That was point one. There we go. We're slipping. All right. Point two. Point two, prepare the way. And we're going to fly through this last point or two. Isaiah 40, still in 40, verses 3 and 5. I love this passage. A voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be leveled. The uneven ground will become smooth and rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear, and all humanity together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, in this time when this passage was written, roadways were prepared in advance of royalty or political leaders who were arriving or traveling through that area. And they all had their different motivations, you know, for wanting that road level. You know, they wanted to look good. They wanted to feel important. You know, there's two things that work there in making a straight road and making the path level. One is removing obstacles. You got to get broken and obstacles out of the way to make it smooth. And then you also have to make it straight and smooth. Get the bumps in the road out of the way. Fill the potholes. And you ever notice, how many of you have driven to Orlando recently? Or Atlanta or some major city? Okay, do you ever notice those roads are never done? They're never, ever done. Ever, ever. And, you know, there's always a crazy construction zone. They're just never finished. And so the point here is that God is calling us to do our part to prepare the way for more of his presence in our lives. But ultimately, we are incapable of fixing this road. We are incapable of accomplishing this task, right? And we are human, we're broken and simple people, no matter how hard we try. So only God can truly repair our broken ways and remove those obstacles in our way. God says in Isaiah 23:19, Look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Aren't you thankful that God steps in and does the work that we cannot do? Even in all of our striving, God says, lean on me, turn to me, and watch me work. It's kind of like those, I guess in a way, speaking of road construction, you always see the crews out there, and there's a guy, there's 10 guys, right? But there's only one guy shoveling down in the hole. The other nine are standing there giving advice. But God says, let me do it. I will do it, and just trust me. So this is the love and grace of God. When I could not reach him, he reached out to me because he is good and he loves me, and there is nothing that can separate me from his love. We all know Romans chapter 8, 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God is pursuing you with his love and grace. I want you to know that this morning. God is pursuing you with his love and grace. But what's our part? We must stop running away from him. Find those areas where we realize I'm running away from God and turn. We turn and run towards God. And it's that amazing collision that we experience when we turn and run to God, a God who is pursuing us with his love and grace, and we experience that wholeness and healing and forgiveness and grace that just revolutionizes our lives and brings us healing, and our perspective on everything changes. We learn how to love God, and we learn how to love other people. And so the task for us is to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit working in our lives to prepare the way for more of his presence to fix those broken places and make the way straight in our life. So, hope is on the way, point one. Point two, prepare the way, and here's point three. Show the way. Can I get an echo? Show the way. Show the way. So, Romans chapter 15, and Julie stole my thunder on this. I love it. It's great. Romans 15, verses 12 to 13. This is so unique because it's Paul in the New Testament with that vantage point quoting Isaiah in the Old Testament from that vantage point. So you're getting the bookends, both looking at those unique perspectives on Jesus' arrival. So Paul writes, quoting Isaiah, again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse, which is a messianic reference to Jesus, the bloodline, the genealogy, all the way from Abraham, all the way to David, all the way down to Jesus. So the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may what? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see from this that that it's not just for God's chosen people. God's plan the whole time has been for all people. You go all the way back to the promise made to Abraham. I will make from you a nation, and you will be a blessing to all peoples. And so God's beautiful, wonderful, mysterious plan, as you look back on it, you can just see it unfold in such a beautiful way. That he chose a people, he called a people, he called generations to carry his promise through, to show that he's faithful to it, and then to take it beyond the Israelite nation, to take it to the world, the Gentiles, and beyond. And so I want to wrap up today with the last passage that we'll look at in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. This is a powerful, powerful message. And usually I look at this through the eyeglass of worship, because this is an amazing worship encounter that Isaiah has in this vision where he is before the throne of God. And so we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another, like we sang earlier, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth. The foundations of the doorway shook, and at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. Think about what that altar represents. The altar at the throne. That is the altar of the Lamb of God, the once for all sacrifice. And Isaiah is experiencing it, even in the future, in the past, however you look at it. And so that coal from that altar represents the forgiveness, the blood of Jesus that covers our iniquities and our sins. And so this angel comes and he touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed and your sin is atoned for. And I want you to get this part. This is our final point. Then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, who will I send? Who will go for us? I said, here am I. Send me. So I want you to remember, no matter your situation, hope is on the way. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit to prepare the way for more of His presence in your life. And then 3, show the way. We're to seek out opportunities to share our faith by speaking hope into the lives of other people around us and praying and giving to send that gospel around the world to those waiting to hear, like we have the opportunity to do through this IMB season of giving and prayer. So as we wrap up today, the question is, will you and I be an Isaiah today? Will you be an Isaiah? Will you be God's messenger to bring not only truth but a voice of hope? To bring encouragement during difficult and dark times that we're going through. People need hope. People need a Savior. And I want you to know today that hope has a name, and His name is Jesus.
Amen.
So will you trust Him? Will you not lose hope in Him? Will you be a part of bringing the hope of the good news of Jesus to someone this week? And as the band is going to join us on here, we're going to just close out the service today and get ready to just worship Him and respond to this time. And I want you to know that if you are using the sermon notes that are in our church app, hopefully you have it. If you don't, ask me and I'll help you find it, or one of our staff, because it's a great resource. The notes are in there. You're able to write your own comments in there and save them, email them to yourself. And also, I put in there, like Tom always says each week, there are some verses for you to read this week, to strengthen your hope, to fill up your hope tank. So they're very powerful verses. I want you to use those this week to encourage your heart. So take a moment right now to just be in prayer as we close out this time. I just want you to silently, where you are, just talk to God about your hope status, where you are with Him. And then I want you to ask Him to prepare your heart for more. And I want you to ask God for the opportunity to send someone to you that you can share the hope of the gospel with them, even this week, that you would be that voice of not only God's truth, but His hope and His deliverance.